So we're going to do something a little different. Rather than just one person standing up here preaching to you and talking to you about the Christmas story, instead you're going to get to listen in on a conversation between two pastors who love Jesus, love all of you, and love talking about Jesus, and are particularly happy to be celebrating the birth of Jesus today. And so it's going to be something that's a little bit different for you, but I hope that you will enjoy it. So I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. It's a Christmas story, and it's one that you are familiar with. But I invite you to maybe today close your eyes and sort of listen as if you're hearing it for the first time. This particular chapter of Luke is really special to me and to my family, because before I was a preacher, we used to gather around the fireplace there in Houston, where mostly we had to turn the air conditioning on to put the fireplace on. And I would read this second chapter of Luke to them. And it was just, it's always kind of been a fond Christmas memory for me. So I invite you, as I read this from the Gospel of Luke, to just kind of close your eyes and just listen like maybe you're hearing this story for the very first time. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the good news for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but there's a few things at Christmas time that it just doesn't feel like Christmas until they're done.
Right.
And listening to the second chapter from Luke is one of those things. It's just kind of a tradition to hear it read. And it's really the most familiar telling of the Christmas story to many of us, if for no other reason than that's the one that they read in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. So I'm glad that you read it. And it reminds me of the carols, the Christmas carols, because the words are so familiar, but we don't always take the time to sit and think about them. And the same is true with carols. We listen to them every year and we sing the songs, but we might not realize the importance of the words. Carols, back when Bibles weren't readily accessible and a lot of people couldn't read, were the way that people shared the Bible with one another and the way that they shared the Christmas story. And so if we really pay attention to the words, they tell us a lot.
They do.
So what's your favorite carol?
My favorite carol is probably Joy to the World. And it's just almost not Christmas if we don't get to sing it somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. And I love Joy to the World because it really just describes what this passage talks about when the angel shows up to the shepherds and says, I bring great news for all the people. And so we in the world have a lot to celebrate at the birth of Christ because it really, I mean, it changed the nature of the world for the entire world. And for that, I think there should be a lot of joy in our life, a lot of joy in the celebration of the coming of Christ. And so that's why Joy to the World is my favorite one. What's yours?
My favorite is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And that one might not be as familiar to everybody, but because we don't sing it too terribly often, but I just love it so much because, like, Joy to the World reminds you of all the joy that we have because of the birth of Christ. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day reminds me of all the hope that we have on Christmas Day. Longfellow wrote it during the Civil War, and he had had a host of personal tragedies that were giving him a lot of grief, as well as he was hearing the bombings going on during the war, and he was just so heartbroken at the lack of peace that he felt all around him. But then he heard the bells on Christmas Day ringing from the church nearby, and it reminded him that the world was broken, and God sent his son to save us and to bring us that peace and that hope that we really only can know through Christ. And so that's why it's my favorite.
It's a nice one. So, she talked about the idea that these things, these carols, teach us some things about Christ or things about our relationship with Christ or things about the work of Christ. And so you look at O Come All Ye Faithful. It's in our hymnal. It's hymn number 234. And in it, it teaches us about the divinity of Christ. You may remember we've talked about this some months back, but we talked about the idea that the full divinity and the full humanness of Christ was worked out amongst some of the early church councils. There were some that had been advocating that Jesus had been created by God, that he was not co-eternal with God. And so the council sort of worked out that Jesus was fully human and fully divine and was co-eternal with God the Father, which means that the Holy Spirit has always existed. The three have always existed. And in O Holy Night, I'm sorry, All Come All Ye Faithful, verse 2 says this, God from true God, light from light eternal, born of a virgin, to earth he comes, only begotten Son of God the Father. And that was sort of the big word that they used in this council, that Jesus was begotten of God. He wasn't created, that he was co-eternal with God the Father. And so in this Christmas carol, we have this lesson about Christ and his divinity and his humanity, and really sort of a reinforcement of the idea of the Trinity.
And so the carols can teach us some like deep theological points like that, but then they also tell us the stories. And so if we kind of go along with the Luke chapter that you read, which starts with the journey, and then as we read through it, we can see how it's reflected in some of the carols. There aren't too many carols about the journey and the senses, but there are a lot of carols that tell of the humble circumstances of Christ's birth. And one of my favorites for that is Away in a Manger. Mm-hmm. Away in a Manger was actually written for children as a way to teach them the story.
That's maybe why I like it so much.
Maybe.
It's just simple, right?
And so those familiar lyrics are, Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And so it just gives us, kind of sets up that notion of such lowly circumstances and such humility that came with the birth of Christ.
And the carols really do talk a lot about sort of the humble beginnings of Jesus. I mean, the Jews had been expecting a Savior. I mean, we have some songs that can come, thou long-awaited Jesus. And so the Jews had been waiting for the Messiah, and their expectation was it was going to be some kind of a warrior king who'd show up on a white horse and run the Romans out and save them all. And instead, you get the birth of a child in a lowly stable. And it's really an interesting way for God to save the world. And many of the carols talk about these humble beginnings of Christ the King of Kings. And there's a song, it's really not a carol, but it's a sung by a group for him, and it's called A Strange Way to Save the World. And the lyrics really are from the eyes of Joseph. And he's talking about, okay, you asked us to do this, and we're doing this, and I'm really not one to question angels, God, but the song goes, this is such a strange way to save the world. And if you stop and think about it, I mean, a little child born in a stable to a nobody married to a nobody carpenter is really a strange way for God to save the world.
And I'm sure the shepherds thought it was really strange that night when the angels appeared to them.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating that the text tells us that the angel and then this choir of angels go to the shepherds first to talk to them and announce the birth of Jesus. Doesn't go to the king, doesn't go to the priests, but it goes to the shepherds. And let me remind you, if the shepherds were not necessarily your welcome guest at your Christmas party. They smelled like sheep. They lived outside. And the fact that the angels showed up and announced first to the shepherds is really a statement about how the appearance of Christ is going to turn the world upside down. The gospel message of Jesus is going to really turn on its head what the world values versus what the kingdom of God values. And then we had the angels that showed up and talked to the shepherds, and there's lots and lots of carols about the angels. There's the first Noel. The angels did sing with the certain poor shepherds. And then there's lots of other songs. Angels from the realms of glory while shepherds watched their flocks. So there's all kinds of stuff that talk about the angels and the shepherds.
Yeah, so the angels obviously are such a huge part of the Christmas story throughout, from, you know, the Annunciation to Elizabeth and then Mary and then Joseph and then the shepherds. And so there's lots of songs about angels. One of the favorites of most people is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley wrote that song, and he originally wrote it to say, Hark the Herald Welkin Sing.
What in the world is a welkin?
A welkin apparently was an old word for heavenly being. But thankfully, his friend George Whitfield came along about 20 years later and changed it to angels. Because can you imagine singing Hark the Herald Welkin Sing now?
Nope. Yeah, it just doesn't sing like the other one does.
I don't think we'd be singing it that way. Yeah. So it teaches us that message of the angels, but it also teaches us a lot about the nature of Christ. Again, the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing uses 8 different names for Christ throughout the song. King, Lord, Prince of Peace, Son of Righteousness, Everlasting Lord, Desire of Nations, Incarnate Deity, and Emmanuel. And so it pulls from a lot of scripture from the prophets and uses all of these different titles for Jesus. And also not only teaches us about the birth of Christ, but as we sang just a little bit ago in this song, if you were listening in verse 3 and kind of really paying attention to the words, we get a hint of the resurrection. Verse 3 says, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. So that's an example of a carol that tells us the birth story, but also tells us about the work of Jesus Christ.
Right, we think about these as Christmas carols, and certainly they are, but there are many that talk about the work that goes beyond just the birth of Christ. O Holy Night in verse 3 says this, Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. I mean, in that you have a summary of the work of Christ beyond just his birth. Because just the birth wasn't adequate for us to be saved, for all of that to happen. And so a lot of these carols will talk about this work of Christ beyond that of just being born.
So we get the birth stories in the carol, and we get information about the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ in the carols. And so we have all this amazing good news from the carols, and they also tell us that we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Because if we read the text from Luke again, we see that the shepherds didn't just go and see the baby and be like, oh, that's kind of cool, and then go back to their field. No, they said, well, let us go and tell people. And they went and they proclaimed the good news. And that's what we're called to do as well. And so there are a few carols that tell us to do that, such as Joy to the World, like right. You mentioned, which is all about proclaiming the news of Christ's birth to the world. And then everybody's favorite, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Right.
That proclaims, it's the best chapel song, right?
Yeah, it is the best chapel song. Our weekday learning center kids sing it all the time.
Yeah.
And it is just so fun to watch them sing and sing all the motions that go with it. If you don't leave smiling after watching them sing and Go Tell It on the Mountain, there's something wrong with you.
Absolutely. So we get that message that not only are we supposed to understand the story and know the story, but that we're supposed to share the story.
Yeah. And then there's the one that we are going to sing a little later this evening, and that probably everybody knows and most everybody probably loves, and that's Silent Night. We have sung that at every Christmas Eve service I've been to since I was 6 years old. And it's a special moment for me to sing Silent Night. And I was thinking at the previous service, you all don't get to see what we see up here, because we get to see the candles being spread and your faces light up, literally, by the candles. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. And we're privileged to be able to stand up here and watch so much of that happen. And that's a great moment for us. But this carol, Silent Night, was actually a poem that was written by a priest named Joseph Moore. And he was in Obendorf, Austria. It was 1818. And the priest shows up for his Christmas Eve service and finds out the organ's broken. There's no music. And so he went to his closet and pulls out this poem and sits down with his organist, who also had a guitar, and they worked out the musical arrangement of Silent Night before that first service in 1818. Was the first time Silent Night was sung. And, you know, I think about that night and maybe what the author of that poem was thinking, and Bethlehem wouldn't have been silent. I mean, there were a lot of people that were coming in for the census, and, I mean, Jesus was in a manger with donkeys and sheep, and they're not particularly silent. There'd have been stomping and sounds and things.
But and that annoying little drummer boy was running around.
Yeah. I think the donkey maybe kicked him. But so I get this sense from this song that there is this holy hush that comes upon us as we sing it, that there's this holy hush of quietness in our hearts and peace in our hearts as we sing this. And so I hope that you will experience that this evening as we sing Silent Night. And it's just such a special way, I think, to end services. And it just really, there is that moment where you finish singing and all is quiet. And oftentimes, I really sense the Spirit of God in this place when that happens. And so we're going to move to communion here in just a second. And I just want to say a few words about communion. First, in the Methodist Church, this table doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to this particular church. It doesn't belong to the Methodist Church. It's the Lord's table. And everyone is welcome here. You do not need to be a member of this church. Everybody's welcome. to come and be here at the Lord's table. We as Methodists believe that the sacraments, in particular communion, is a means of grace. It's a way for us to experience God's love for us, and so everybody is welcome. We're going to be serving it by intinction, and you will be handed a piece of bread. Just take it, dip it in the cup, and then you eat it. You can stop at one of our kneelers if you'd like to on the way. The two center ones are going to have gluten-free options, which will be a little wafer on a little cup. So if you would like that, please come down this center aisle where Leanne and I will be here, and we'll have somebody there with the gluten-free option. But it is so appropriate that on Christmas Eve we do come to the Lord's table, because when we come to the Lord's table, we remember the price that was paid for us. We celebrate the birth on Christmas Eve. We are so happy about that. But that's just the first part of the story. The rest of the story is that he called disciples to follow him, and he taught them, and he showed them love, and he showed them what love looked like. And then he was crucified on a cross, and then there was the empty tomb. And we celebrate his birth this day because it all started with that. But when we come to the Lord's table, we remember that blood was poured out, that we might be forgiven, that we might receive the gift of eternal life. And so as you come forward to receive the sacrament of communion this day, I invite you to remember the whole story. Celebrate the birth of Jesus, absolutely. But remember, that's not the end of the story, that's just the beginning. What a joy it is to be with you tonight and to be able to have communion at the Lord's table with you.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Lord of Christmas peace, we have done wrong. We have tarnished the gift you gave freely. We have buried you so deeply in our hearts, the world doesn't see you. We have not followed Christ. We have ignored your teachings. We have lived lives of apathy against your love. We have built fences and fortresses to push people away. And we have silenced the screams of those in need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from our sin. Free us from captivity. Free us to live a life lived in joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace to your people on earth." And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of a woman on that night long ago, so on that night which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the cup. He again blessed it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. With the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, what a privilege it is to come to your table on this night as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Father, we ask that you would write on our hearts the price that was paid, that we might be free, that we might be given the gift of eternal life. Help us to go and tell it from the mountains. Help us to go and share the good news. This is not ours to keep. It is ours to share. Help us as we do that. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, Amen.